History. Throughout the Middle Ages, the Czech town of Dvor Králové occupied an important and prestigious position. The town formed part of the Czech Queen's Dowry, as its name, which roughly translates as Queen's Settlement, would suggest. But with the disappearance of the Czech royal family, things went a bit quiet for Dvor Králové. In modern times, the town has been most famous for its Christmas decoration factory and its zoo. Dvor Králové has also played host to one of the stranger and more gruesome episodes of modern Czech history, though not that many people know about it. Author and journalist J.M. Ledgerd explains.
It's a true story which was never written about. In fact, technically it's still a state secret in the Czech Republic even today. But the true story is that a guy called Josef Wagner, who was a communist functionary who ran the zoo in Dvor Králové, he assembled the largest herd of giraffes ever assembled in captivity before or since. And he brought them to CSSR over a period of 3 or 4 years from Kenya and Tanzania. And he wanted to create a new subspecies of giraffe, a communist, socialist giraffe. And then, on the eve of May Day, Čarodejnice, 1975, the secret police closed down the town of Dvor Králové. They obviously closed down the zoo, and they shot dead all of these giraffes, and then they covered it up.
J.M. Ledgerd is a reporter for The Economist magazine. While he was posted in Prague in the late 1990s, he came across the story of the giraffe massacre in Dvor Králové and subsequently wrote a book about it. Here's an excerpt from his novel Giraffe, in which Amina, a resident of Dvor Králové, sets eyes on the creatures for the first time.
Four giraffes blink and gather in the stormlight. The sky pours wet down their necks. Without thinking, I run out behind the lorry. I stare up at the giraffes. I am captivated by them. Looking at them, I feel awakened. They are as slender as I am, with sensitivity of expression. They are also of an incorrect density, reached up, as on tiptoe, off the face of the world, aimed for that place I should like to be. I see their necks and chests, but not their bodies. I run a little further behind the lorry. The giraffes move towards me. They see me. They lean down. I wish to jump up and touch them, but they are gathering speed away from me. Lightning forks. I see the giraffes in silver, as nacreous jigsaw puzzles that are in no need of solution.
While researching his book, J.M. Ledgerd had to sift his way through dozens of conspiracy theories which had sprung up around the giraffe slaughter.
The conspiracies they range from that there was a deal for selling Czechoslovak arms, particularly to Somali and Ethiopian rebel groups, in return for giraffes, that the giraffes, one of them had been had microfiche stitched into its underbelly. And obviously another theory which was put about by Mr. Wagner himself was that he was a victim of jealous apparatchiks who were jealous of his ability to travel, his success, and that they wanted to, as he put it, bring him to his knees. And then, of course, the other theory is that the giraffes had a very virulent disease, a very rare African disease, which is, if it had got out, would have wrecked the collective farming business in CSSR and Poland and East Germany. And that's the theory that, having done all that research, that I favour.
J.M. Ledyard now lives in Nairobi, but I caught up with him on a recent visit back to Prague. I asked him why he decided to write a book about the topic.
Well, I should come clean and say that I had a serious fetish about zoos before before I came across this story. And as a foreign correspondent, I've travelled to lots of countries, and the only thing I do religiously in these countries is buy honey and visit the zoo. So I've been to lots of zoos, and some truly, truly awful zoos. Tirana Zoo in Albania, which had a chain-smoking chimpanzee. The Moldova National Zoo, which had a three-legged Shetland pony. I kid you not. But we're very lucky here in Prague to have undoubtedly, unquestionably, the best zoo in the former communist world. I'm deeply ambivalent about zoos. I am as repulsed by them as I am fascinated in them. I used to go to these zoos, and I never was, like, when you were a kid, you always had to traipse around the whole zoo. But I always would head for one or two, never more than two animals. And I would just sit there for an hour looking at that one animal. And, you know, my favorite animal was the polar bear. So I wrote a lot of my great political analysis of Central Europe sitting in front of the polar bears at Prague Zoo.
The events which provide the plot for Giraffe are still shrouded in secrecy, and as J.M. Ledyard explains, the period which the novel spans is made more mysterious still by the fact that it's often blacked out of Czech history.
As I got into this true story, I was completely consumed and fascinated by the 1970s in Czechoslovakia, which is a time which has seen paired out of history, you know. If you talk to older Czechs, they'll have very vivid memories of, I don't know, 65 to 69. If you talk to them about 72 to 76, their public memory is, I mean, it's gone. Obviously, if you talk about their private memories, they got married or they had a kid or, you know, they fell in love or they're out of love or whatever, then those memories are very clear. But the public memory of, you know, what happened that May Day, you know, it's gone. So I was really fascinated in this combination of this truly bizarre story and a truly bizarre time.
Giraffe presents 1970s Czechoslovakia as an arthritic, ageing country in which the inhabitants are caged like animals. Even Czech fairy tale characters like the water sprite or Vodník are trapped.
The Vodník looks after a stretch of a river or stream. He lives among eels in the back walls of deep pools where trout circle. It is so striking, so very Czechoslovakian, that the Vodník belongs to a single stretch of river between a linden tree and a bend, or between a weir and a certain copse of crabapple trees. He is not like the mermaids the East German sailors spoke of, who sink freely down from a cove and sing, with plucking of throat hairs, to whales in the faraway deep. The Vodník has been too long exiled in our landlocked Czechoslovakia to move any more in a sober and athletic way. He has grown thin and is seen most often in the local hospoda or pub, where he fancies his green skin is disguised in the weak electric light of the communist mood.
The book is not very flattering about the Czechoslovakia of the time, and lots of Czechs see the 1970s as something of a murky period in their history. So what sort of success is the book having among Czechs now that it's been translated?
I'm actually really impressed and feel really positive the response that I've got. People are quite interested in this 70s period because so few Czechs examine it and so few Czechs know that this incident happened. I'm not saying it's the biggest crime of communism, but it's certainly one of the weirdest. And so I think there is a fascination there. So, and the book was very beautifully translated into Czech.